throat problem, and Carmen, they're both ill. So we appreciate Mylon stepping in at the last moment to conduct song singing. Mercy is a biblical concept described in both the Old and New Testaments. Moses and Israel sang a song as they left Egypt and the Pharaoh and his army had were overthrown. And as they departed from Egypt then, they sang the words that you have just heard read from Exodus 15, verses 11 through 13. They understood that it was by God's mercy that they had been redeemed. Likewise, Christians recognize to this day that it was by God's mercy that we are redeemed. And in fact, we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we recognize that our redemption cost a great price on the part of God, and that it was extended towards us because of his mercy. The first mention of God's mercy in the scriptures is when Lot recognized that it was by God's mercy. If, by the way, it looks like this is flickering on and off, it isn't. That's your eyes. No, it does seem to be, though. Lot recognized that by God's mercy, he saved his life, as we read in Genesis 19, 19. Second occasion in which mercy is mentioned is in connection with Abraham's servant. He understood that God had not withheld mercy from Abraham. Third, God showed Joseph mercy, and we'd like to read that one from Genesis chapter 39. Verses 21 and 22, Genesis chapter 39. Of course, you remember Joseph had been grossly abused by his own brothers who sold him into slavery, and then he was put into prison when falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of something that she was guilty of, but he was not. And so we read in chapter 39, verses 21 and 22, but the Lord was with Joseph, even as he is now in prison, and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. So God had compassion. God had mercy upon Joseph in those states. So those are the first few times we read of mercy. And then, of course, there is the one that was in our scripture reading where the whole nation recognizes the mercy of God. So we have three individual instances with Lot and Abraham and Joseph. We also have the national instance of God's mercy when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Shortly after the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, however, the people disobeyed God by refusing to conquer the land that he had determined to give them and had promised to their fathers. And not only did they refuse to take the land, they were on the verge of stoning Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb. God declared, in fact, his intention to destroy them and make a great nation of Moses instead. But Moses would not hear of it, and he offered arguments to God for why that idea would not work very well, and begged that God would not destroy them. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Numbers chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, Moses says, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. So Moses prayed on their behalf that God would not destroy them, and he listened to what Moses had to say. And God granted mercy to that rebellious generation. He allowed them to live out their lives in the wilderness and to let their children inherit the land in their place. In all of these examples, we see what mercy is. One aspect is that God does not bring upon an individual or a nation the destruction that they deserve. Do they deserve punishment? Yes, but God spares them. Another aspect is compassion, delivering them out of Egypt, for example. They could not pay for their deliverance. They could not earn their deliverance. God gave them deliverance. God spared Lot from death, and he showed compassion on Abraham and on Joseph, as we've already noticed. So these are the positive and the negative aspects of mercy. Blessing without merit. Blessing without merit, and not being punished, though merited. These are the positive and negative aspects of mercy that we see throughout the Scriptures. Now, what we want to do next is to devote our study to the descriptions of mercy given in the Scriptures. The first one we already mentioned from Numbers 14:18, he is abundant in mercy. Let's also see what Psalm 86 has to say, verses 5 and verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. So again, he is abundant in mercy, and this is linked to forgiveness. He is ready to forgive. And then also verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. And so we see several other characteristics of God also linked to his abundant mercy, such as forgiveness, compassion, and so on. If something is abundant, that means there's plenty to cover what you need. Another way of saying that is that God is rich in mercy. And we read that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Another way of saying that is that God abounds in mercy, Psalm 103, verse 8. But that's the first one we want to see. The second characteristic, the second description of mercy is that it is great. And we found that when we read Numbers 14 and verse 19 earlier. We'd like to read verse 11 of Psalm 103 at this time. 103, verse 11. In fact, let's read verses 8 and 11. Psalm 103, verse 8 first. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. That was our first description, abounding in mercy. And then in the same psalm, just three verses later, we read, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And so we find both first of the first two characteristics or descriptions in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Somewhat unusual is the way that Elizabeth is treated in Luke chapter 1 and verse 58. Let's turn there, Luke chapter 1 and verse 58. This is not probably the way we mostly recognize what mercy is. But in that very first chapter, we see in verse 58, when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. What was the great mercy? Being able to have a child. That's not what most people would think of. But that's what we find in this particular text. Now, the next one that we want to notice, and there are so many of these, we just list them here. God's mercy is everlasting. It endures forever. And we find so many passages, including Psalm 136, which if you have read recently, you would probably remember that every verse, all 26 verses, has as the second part of the verse, for his mercy endures forever. And so there are many verses that really emphasize this particular point. Next, number four, God's mercy is good. And we want to go to Psalm 109 and verse 21. Psalm 109, verse 21. I didn't write Psalm at the beginning of that, but if you can find another book with 109 chapters, go ahead and look there. Psalm 109, verse 21. But you, O God the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. And so that's a fourth characteristic. And then another one that is very interesting to describe God's mercy is that it is tender. His mercies are tender. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1, and this time we want to look at verse 78. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. This is part of the prayer that Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, gave. And he calls his mercy tender. Let's also look up Psalm 25 and verse 6. Psalm 25 and verse 6. Remember me, O Lord, and this is a psalm of David. Remember me, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. And then let's go to Psalm 119 and verses 76 and 77. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 76. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. According to your word to your servant, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is perfect. And since we're already there, let's read verse 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. God has compassion on those who are desolate. And we want to go back to Psalm 25 for this, and an earlier verse than what we already read, verse 16. You know, it's hard to overlook someone who is desolate. And this is an appeal that is made to God. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. It's hard for God to turn that down. For I am desolate and afflicted. Psalm 31 and verse 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. And so when people felt desolate, they knew they could call on God because of his mercy. Now, those are the descriptions of mercy, some of them that we find throughout the scriptures, but let's next talk about the results of God's mercy. It is so abundant, so rich, so great, so everlasting, so good, and so tender that the earth is full of mercy. And we find this actually recorded in Psalm 119 and verse 64. Psalm 119 and verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Yes, the mercy of God is so great, so marvelous. The earth is full of his mercy. But let's also notice that the mercies God promises, he fulfills. Going back to Luke chapter 1 one more time, let's now look at verse 72. And this is still part of Zechariah's prayer. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Yes, God has promised mercies. He promised mercy to Israel with the coming of the Savior. And he promises us mercy because of what the Savior did. We know that mercy awaits those who follow God. It was a promise made to Abraham. It is a promise made to us that we shall receive the mercies of God because God fulfills his promises. Another result is that he saved us by his mercy. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We also find that sentiment that God had delivered and saved Israel in the Old Testament in Psalm 109, verse 26. We are saved not just from our enemies as they were. In fact, that's how they most of the time counted salvation. That's mostly what they mean by redemption or deliverance in the Old Testament, the deliverance from their enemies. But in the New Testament, salvation is from not enemies, but from our sins. And so he saved us by his mercy. And number four, mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's take a look at James chapter 2 and verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, we want to pick up part of that, but for the time being on this point, we want to show that mercy triumphs over judgment. What does that mean? Well, we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to be judged. Are you nervous? If you belong to God, you do not need to be, because his mercy is promised to us who are faithful, who are obedient. And mercy, therefore, triumphs over judgment. We do not have to be concerned about judgment. In a negative way, we can look forward to the reward that we expect to be given us. We have seen, then, the wondrous, enduring, rich mercy of God. As pertains to salvation, mercy is extended to all, but only a few will receive it. And you might say, well, why are you saying that? Why doesn't everybody get it? Again, it's extended to everybody, but only few will absolutely receive it. Why? Because of what was also said in James chapter 2, 13. Did you notice that their unmerciful will not receive mercy? Did you notice that it said no mercy for the one who shows no mercy? They are disqualified from receiving God's mercy. If they do not extend mercy towards others, they shall receive none. They are disqualified. But you know, then there are some qualifiers that are also listed. In fact, God gave two of them when he gave the Ten Commandments. Well, let's see what they are. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Actually, this is part of not making a graven or carved image. After stating that, he also adds, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. And then he describes himself as visiting the iniquities to the third and fourth generation. But, verse 6, showing mercy to thousands, to those who, what do we have here? Qualifications. To those who love me and keep my commandments. To those who love me and keep my commandments. What does that imply? If you do not love God, if you do not keep his commandments, you do not or should not expect to receive mercy. He is merciful to those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, that sounds a lot like something Jesus said, doesn't it? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. That's the way we receive mercy. That's one of the ways that we receive mercy. Do you want that mercy? Are you showing mercy to others? Are you loving God and keeping, therefore, His commandments? God shows mercy to some. It's extended to all, but only some receive it, those who love Him and keep His commandments. Do you want that mercy? Are you expecting that mercy? Then do you not need to humble yourself before God? Keep my commandments. Love me and keep my commandments. One cannot live a life of doing what one chooses, ignoring God, ignoring the Word of God, and then think on the day of judgment, I'm going to get mercy. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to love God and keep His commandments. So if you're not expecting mercy today, do you not need to remedy that? Do you not need to do what pleases God? And what pleases God, if you never have done it, is to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism so that His blood can wash away your sins. You receive mercy as a result of that obedience. But then there's more. You must live as a child of God. Just as those in the first century continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, Acts 2 and verse 42. So you need to obey the gospel, but you need to continue in the gospel in order to expect mercy. We all have been guilty of sin. Some will receive eternal life anyway due to God's great, tender mercies. But if you're not been obedient, if you ignored God, how can you expect a reward? The tender mercies offered to those who love Him and keep His commandments. You have an opportunity now to make a change in your life if you've not been living properly, not being obedient to the gospel. You can change that this morning, or you can discuss it with some brethren here to make sure that you know what you ought to do, and you can make that change in your life. And then you can expect the mercy you receive to rejoice against the judgment. But if not, you basically have no hope. So we hope that you will make the right decision this morning. And if you need to make a response, let us know. We're going to stand and sing for your encouragement right now.